This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
2 Timothy in chapter 2. We're going to get back into our text verses for this series. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read by way of our text tonight, 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 and 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 26. The Bible says, but foolish and unlearned questions, that's in verse 23, sorry, unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at His will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this Wednesday evening. We thank You, dear God, for allowing us to be here together. And Lord, we pray that You would pour a special blessing out on each soul here this evening. Father, I thank You for everyone that is out here on a Wednesday night, those that came to hear Your word preach and to sing praises unto Thy name. Lord, we pray that You would honor their sacrifice tonight, honor their willingness to be in the house of God, and bless them this evening, Lord, through Thy precious word. We love You now. We give You all the honor and glory. In Christ's glorious name we ask. Amen and amen. Thanks so much. Please be seated. So just by way of review real quick, what we've seen in these installments of the servant of the Lord is that we heard that the servant of the Lord, in order to be a servant of the Lord, you must serve the Lord, but serve Him in the will of God. So you must serve in the will of God in order to be a servant. And we spoke about this under these terms, that the servant of the Lord must serve with singleness of heart, must be established in the faith by submitting unto God. So those are the four principles that a servant of the Lord must adhere to when they serve the Lord in His will. We found out, we talked about last week, that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. We heard that the strive, or the word strive, occurs 22 times in the Bible, and it is a byproduct of the word strife, which occurs 39 times in the Bible. So to say the least, the servant of the Lord needs not, number one, to be contentious, but a servant of the Lord must have compassion, he must be consecrated, and he should be consistent, or she should be consistent, in their life and serving God as the servant of the Lord. So tonight, we're going to cover the part of verse 24 by looking at this statement. If you look there in verse 24, the next little part in the servant of the Lord is he must be apt to teach. Apt to teach. Now the word apt to teach, it means fit or suitable to teach. So to be apt to teach as the servant of the Lord means that you must be fit or suitable to teach. Now the word fit, we know what that means. It means to be in shape or healthy. Now we have to ask ourselves, if someone came up to us today and they said, "Preacher, would you run a 26 and a half mile marathon?" Well, the answer is no, I wouldn't, unless I could do it on a motorcycle. Amen? I could do it in a car. That's about it. Because I'm not in shape enough to run 26 miles, or I'm not fit or suitable to run a 26 mile marathon. I might be able to run a mile real quick, but after that, I'm pretty much done. Amen? So I'm saying that to say this. The same principle applies in the servant of the Lord being apt to teach. That servant of the Lord must be suitable or fit to teach the Word of God. Now look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and go to the verse 15, which we all know by heart, I would say. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. We know this verse. Most of us have written it upon the table of our heart. We can quote it. We can see it. We know the verse by heart tonight. But I want you to understand, as we begin to delve in to this section of the servant of the Lord, if you're here tonight and you're saved and born again, you are already a servant of some type. You understand that here this evening. You are already a servant. Depending on how you serve God and how you serve the Lord will depend upon what type of servant you are. The Bible says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So in order for you to be apt to teach or fit and suitable to teach the Word of God, We're going to look by way of examining 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to understand tonight that that the first thing you have to do to be a servant of the Lord, a servant of His will, is you got to study. Somebody say amen to that tonight. You got to study the Word of God. Because, guys, if you don't study, you're not going to grow in the grace of God today. It is important for Christians to grow. It's important for you to grow in the Word of God. And the way that you're going to grow in the Word of God is by studying the Word of God. Many people come to church, and they come to church to learn something. And I believe when you come to our church, you should learn something, and you should learn something from the Word of God. That teaches you, that edifies you, and that increases your faith in God, in this life, and serving Him by studying and learning more and getting a hold of more of the Word of God. But at the same time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is not enough for you to really know what you need to know about the Word of God. You need to study on your own time. You need to study in order to fortify that which you've learned at church and from others concerning the Word of God. Turn in your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 3 with me. 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3. And if you look down at 2 Peter chapter 3, look at the very last verse of the chapter. Actually, it's the last verse of the letter. Watch what the Bible says here. 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow in grace. Now watch this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Solomon said this, friend. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He said again, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. He said one more time in Proverbs 24, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. So what Peter's telling us here, that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a young man one time who was eager to grow in his Christian life, and he got himself out a piece of paper. And he wrote on that piece of paper, he made out a list of all the things that he was going to do for God. He wrote down the things that he would give up, the places that he would go to minister, the areas that, of his ministry that he would enter. He was excited, and he took that list to church and he put it upon the altar. Now, he thought he'd feel a little bit of joy, but instead, you know what he felt? He felt empty. You see, he went home and he started adding things to the list, and he wrote down more things, things that he wouldn't do for God and the things that he wouldn't do against God. And he took this longer list and he put it on the altar. And guess what happened? Felt nothing at all. The old boy went to a wise old pastor, told him the situation, asked for his help. And the pastor said this unto him. He said, son, take yourself a blank sheet of paper, sign your name at the bottom of it, and put that on the altar. The young man did it, and peace came into his heart. You see, being the servant of the Lord and studying about the Word of God and understanding the knowledge and gaining knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that is not a list of do's and don'ts, but rather it is taking yourself, studying it, and pouring yourself into the Word of God and letting the Word of God pour into you. And then you just sign a blank check upon the altar and say, God, I am yours to do with what you will after your good pleasure. You see, all of that is good. All the knowledge is good, but we can't stop just by making a list. We must grow in grace. This is true. But Peter says, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was the Apostle Paul that said, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Friend, knowledge is wonderful as long as it's proper knowledge, used properly in the perfect path for Jesus Christ tonight, which is going to bring us tonight to point number two. Point number two, as we understand that we should study in order to show ourselves approved, that's the second part. Beloved, we need to show that which we study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. Remember this, I gave you this quote years back, but wisdom is knowledge that is used properly. That's what wisdom is. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians in chapter 1 with me. Philippians in chapter 1. If we look into Philippians in chapter 1, skip down there to verse 27, close to the end of the chapter. Philippians in chapter 1, this is what we find. Paul says, only let your conversation. Now, if you mark in your Bibles, if you like to take notes, which, friend, I like to take notes. I like to mark in my Bibles. When I was over in England this last time, this last October, I still had my new Bible here, my 40-year birthday gift from August that I got 3 months ahead of time. I had that Bible, and I was sitting there reading it in the church, and one of the elder ladies came by, and she goes, "Ooh, look at that, a brand new Bible. The pages are still white, amen." And of course, but I like to write in my Bible. Verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation." Now, circle that word conversation, and you can draw a line out, and what I have in my column is conduct or way of life. Keep reading here. How do we know that? Because the King James Bible's got a built-in dictionary. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, circle that, connect that to conduct, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, circle that word here, connect it to conduct, that you may stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Friend, what we need to understand, that is our testimony. Our conversation is that which is seen and that which is heard about us and by us, beloved. All the knowledge in the world is utterly useless if you're going to use it as a pounding rod and as a broomstick and as just a whooping post upon those who are ignorant of the Word of God. Knowledge is not the only factor that allows the servant of the Lord to be fit or suitable, much less even qualified to go forth and be a servant of the Lord. A man by the name of Prentice Henderson lived to be 100 years old. He lived through the Great Depression. He fought in the Second World War, and he buried his wife. He did not retire until he was in his 70s, and he taught Sunday school to 7th grade boys for over 30 years at the First Baptist Church. Prentice had a simple little philosophy about life. He says, I choose to be happy. His daughter testified to that at his funeral, and she said he was always positive, regardless of the situation. He said, I choose. He lived to be 100 years old. Guys, I'm saying that to say this tonight. Knowledge in the Word of God does not make you fit or suitable to teach the Bible. It's not just that which you study, but it is that which you are willing to show. Our conduct, our life should be, as the Bible says, as becometh the gospel of Christ. And I've said it before, and I say it now again, what the world sees in the saint is what the world sees in the Savior. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, well, I show the salvation of God. When you teach people, friend, you are to be teaching people. You teach by what you show than what you throw. There just comes a time in the believer's life when we need to grow up and get out of the old lifestyle. Ephesians 4:2 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. It says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. It just comes a time when you ought to be different. There comes a time when you ought to show forth the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and get, let me say this and put it pretty plainly tonight. I'm not trying to be brutal, not trying to throw shoes at you, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight. There comes a time in our life as children of God when we just need to get over ourselves and under the cross, amen, and get out there and live a life glorifying to Jesus Christ, even if we get hurt in doing so, amen. That's the right way to do it. Get over ourselves. The servant of the Lord and being apt to teach and being fit and suitable to teach the Word of God must study, must show. Let me say this. They must speak the things that are glorifying to Jesus Christ. Turn over to Colossians 4 with me. Colossians in chapter 4, if you will, please. Colossians in chapter 4. Watch what Paul says here. Colossians in chapter 4. Look down with me. And I tell you, I want you to go to verse 6, but I want you to skip up two verses. I want to see, show you this by context. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that I may make it manifest, watch this, as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, buying back that time. Here's verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Beloved, our speech should complement or our show and our study should be complemented by our speech. It shouldn't be contradicted. You know what you never want to hear in your life out of somebody that you've known for a semi-lengthy period of time? Hey, would you like to come to church with me on Sunday? Oh, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. You don't want to hear that, amen. You don't want somebody to be taken by surprise when they hear that you're a Christian or you're a believer in Christ. Teachers in life, we are to be teachers in this world today, and we need to show forth the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are watching you, amen. They are listening to what you say. They're watching where you go. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll tell you, kids are watching you. Can I say, get an amen right there? Kids are no dummies. We think kids are dummies. I'll tell you what, you hang out with me and David, or me and Darius, or me and Daniel, or even Bailey, amen? Hang out with us just for a little bit of time, and you'll find out real quick what they're picking up on. There ain't much they're not picking up on. Kids are nosy. They just flat nosy. You're trying to have a conversation, I'm telling you, you're trying to get them to clean clothes, the FBI can't find them. Go in there, try to have a private conversation. Son, you're not going to get away from them, amen. I mean, think about some of the things Jack has said at school. Praise the Lord, man. I'm loving it, amen. You know where he's getting at? He's picking it up from us, guys, in church. Amen. Kids learn things, they see things, and you're not getting anything past them. And I'm here to say this to you guys. We have to be mindful. We have to be wise in our Christian life. Because if we are not wise in that which we do, this world and these young people are going to grow up. And they're going to grow away from the church and grow away from the things that we've been trying to teach them. So we got to understand that the servant of the Lord, number one, he's got to study the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. And I'm not telling everybody in this church tonight that you need to go out and buy you a 36-foot commentary and that's how you're going to study the Word of God. You got 66 books of the Bible right there in your lap tonight. And if you never buy another book based on the Bible, you got everything that you truly and surely need right there in your hand this evening to study the Word of God. Do commentaries help? Yes, they help. They're a blessing. But the problem with most preachers today is they go to the commentary to find their sermon rather than going to the Bible to get it from God and then find out what the commentary says. Amen. Listen, I don't do that. I have a lot of books. I am a book reader. I love reading. I'd rather read than do the majority of stuff in this life today. I love to read, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to go to the commentary first and foremost to find out what God wants from me. Amen. All the other stuff is just add-ons. It's just shows the quotes and the illustrations and what this preacher said and what that preacher says. But you want to get your sermon and you want to get that what you're teaching from the living Word of God right here. This old AV 1611. Amen. You got to study. You got to show what you study, and you got to complement those things by that which you say. So what your speech is. Let me show you this lastly tonight concerning the servant of the Lord. We are to study the Word of God. We are to show the Word of God. We are to speak that of the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, that which we speak in our life should be sound. Amen. Look over there in Titus chapter 2. Last time I asked you to turn this evening. Titus in chapter 2. Speaking of the servant of the Lord, being apt to teach, being fit and suitable to teach the Word of God in their life. It's not just in the classroom, but it is in the house. It's in the workplace. Excuse me. It is in everywhere you go in your daily life. That is what it is when you are to teach the Word of God. Titus chapter 2, begin with me in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through a multitude of verses. The Bible says, but speak thou the things which become, watch this, sound doctrine. This is life-giving doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself, watch this, a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Friend, we have an opportunity tonight to dwell together in unity, both in this church and without. The only ones that will not allow us to become that servant of the Lord that is apt to teach, fit and suitable, is ourselves. The only person that is going to keep us doing what God wants us to do in this life is ourself. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not the person behind you. It's not your neighbor. It's not your coworker. It's not your mamas or your daddies. The only one that's going to keep us tonight from doing that which we should as the servant of the Lord is ourselves. So in order to be apt to teach, meaning in order for the servant of the Lord to be fit, to be suitable to teach, they must study. To show themselves approved unto God. To speak the things which become sound doctrine. And friend, knowledge is not going to cut it alone. Your life as well as your speech will teach volumes and determine whether or not you tonight are apt to teach as a good and faithful servant of the Lord. I'm going to close with this saying, and I've said it before. People care more about what you show than what you know. Most people in this life today, they could care less what we know or think we know. But what they care about is what we show. You bow your heads with me tonight. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Words, friend. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate and steal. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. But a loving word may heal and bless. You're here tonight and the Lord has touched your heart about being a servant of the Lord. As the piano prepares to play, I ask you to come this evening. Lord, we give this invitation into thy hands. We pray, dear God, that you tender and touch the lives of your people here this evening. In Christ's name we ask. You come tonight as the Lord leads.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.